Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to reach there. And then we'll go to problems.
Well, amen. We are glad to have those who are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio joining us about now. And we're very thankful for that.
There's a better way to put this phone.
All right. For those of you that are listening in, our quality of sound is not as good as it will be as we've moved locations, and we will have it better in the near future. But until then, we'll make do with what we have and hope you're able to hear fine. Psalm 119, verse 161, the Bible says, and this is David speaking on his love for the Word of God. I want you to understand that when we think about what we're reading this morning. Because I want you to pay attention. I want you to think about what we're reading. I want you to, we can read the Bible sometimes like we're reading a newspaper or a magazine, and it's just information, and we're not getting anything. You can scan a piece of paper and get what's on it, and you saw it, your eyes saw it, but your heart didn't see it. Okay? When you read the Word of God, it ought to be more than reading anything else. It ought to mean something to you more than anything else you read. And if you will put yourself in the writer's shoes, you can feel what the writer was feeling. Let's read. The Bible says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause." You know what? I feel like that, don't you? Well, it's princes, amen. But it's government. It's the powers that be that make it hard on those who want to do right. And that's how David felt. David said, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." I just wonder how long it's been since we've just stood in awe of what God's word has to say to us. Or if some of us have even ever done that, have just been dumbstruck with what the word of God has to say, just how little you are and how big he is. How weak you are and how strong he is. The Word of God tells us all that. The Word of God shows us all that. The Word of God should make us stand in awe. He said, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth a great spoil." As if he walked into a room and opened it up after he'd won a battle and found just treasures beyond imagination. He said, you think about that. If you won a battle and you went into a room that was owned by the enemy and you found all kinds of treasures just beyond your imagination, you jump up and down and holler, "Yippee," and click your heels together, clap your hands. David said, that's the way I do when I read the Word of God, because it's full of riches. He said, "I hate and abhor lying," can't stand it, "but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." I wonder how many times a day we praise thee. "Great peace have they that which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Boy, we need to make some time to think on that. Amen. Listen, there's a reason why he said that. Because you know what? He's just a dirty old sinner saved by grace. And when we realize what we have in Jesus, we realize how we were saved from our sin, how we realize what we were spared from. We really ain't got no problems, amen? And we shouldn't just go around getting offended all the time by things. Listen, life's going to happen to you. But listen, if you love the Lord, you love the Word of God, it'll comfort your heart. He said, "Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word, not according to my own self." He didn't say, "Give me understanding according to the things that's going on around me." He said, "Give me understanding according to thy word. Let your word teach me what's going on around me instead of everybody else." I see everybody else turns the TV on to find out what's going on around them, or radio, or they go to the internet to try to figure out what's going on around them. God says, "If you'll come to my word and let me explain to you what's going on around you." Amen? He said, I lost my place. What number was we on? 170. "Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." It's all according to the word. You see that? Everything's according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. When I remember what the Bible says, then I'll have praise in my mouth. I'll be praising God. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. You can't give a bad command out of the word of God. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, for thy, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. This is the heart of a man who wants to know God. He wants to be close to God. He wants God to be merciful in his life. He's admitting his weakness before God and crying out to God to let his word heal him in every area of his life. That's what he's saying in this psalm. That's what he's crying for. God, make me strong according to your word. Now, why don't you turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, and that's where we'll find our text. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, but it's worth reading that because I want us to understand this morning that, that this book that you have in front of you is not just any old book.
Amen.
It's unlike any other book that was ever written, ever. Psalm chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I come before you this morning and I thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity, Lord, to come before the Word of God and preach it. Father, I pray, Lord, this morning as we get ready to preach the Word of God, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, you might forgive me of any sin that's in my life. Lord, that you might cleanse me of anything that stands between you and I. Lord God, anything that I've done to displease you, I pray you'd forgive me and cleanse me. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would utterly fill my being, every fiber of my being, every bit of my DNA would be ruled and controlled by the Holy Ghost of God. And I pray, Lord, that the power of God might come forth from the message today from these lips, Lord, not because of me, but because of you. Father, I pray, Lord, that it might touch and help the people that are here. Lord God, if we'd all just take the message in today, it would change us so dramatically. Father, I just pray that you please help us to focus. I pray, Lord, for the young people in the room, Lord, I pray that they would focus on what's being said and really take it personal. But Lord, it is personal. I pray, Father, that we don't have understanding, greater understanding when we leave here today of just how much you love us and how what your plan is for our life. Father, I pray you bless each one who's listening on the internet. Lord, if there's someone who's lost and undone in sin, I pray this be the day of salvation. I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would convict them, show them their sin, show them that they owe a penalty before you, and that penalty is death and the lake of fire. Lord, I pray, Father, that they've come in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Be born again. Be saved forevermore. Lord, I praise you and I give you glory and I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, this morning, the message, the title of the message is The Book That Will Talk to You. The Book That Will Talk to You. And I get that from verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 6, where he says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, put that down, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. The Bible will talk to you. Amen? The law of God ought to be so dear to us that it should be bound around the most vital organ of our being, which is our heart. It ought to be bound to us. If you notice this, it says in verse 21, it says, bind them continually upon thine heart. We're to bind the Word of God. We talk about we hide the Scriptures in our heart. We're binding this around our heart. The Word of God tells us in John 15:7, well, let me just read to you. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That word abide, a year or so ago we talked about that. The word abide means to be knit together. When I think of those crocheted afghans, those threads, they may be different colors, but they're knit together, and they're not coming apart. And that's the way God's word is to be. We're to knit the word of God all around our heart. It ought to be a part of us. You may forget or lose whatever you carry in your hand, whatever you carry on your person. Somebody can run up and grab it and steal it from you and run off with it. But what you bind around your heart is going to remain there as long as life remains in you. If you hide it in your heart, can't nobody take it from you. We're to love the word of God. We're to love it, not just have it. We're to love it with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. With everything that we have, we're to love God's word. We're to embrace it. We're to cling to it. We're to invest our most tender affections and bind them up with the word of God. I mean, the greatest love that we have in us ought to be bound up in our heart with the word of God. It ought to be more precious to us than any article of clothing or any item that we've ever been given, any memento from anybody. This Bible ought to be more important than any of that. Amen? If I lose everything I own, I don't want to lose my Bible. Amen? It's more precious to me than anything. Solomon tells us here in verse 21, he says that we're to wear it about our necks. And what he's meaning by that, he's meaning that it's to be visible. It's to be public. He means that we're never, ever to be ashamed of the Bible. We're never to be ashamed to be a child of God. We're never to speak negatively around anybody about anything pertaining to God or the Word of God, the things of God. Amen. We're never to even begin to seem like where it's uncool or it's we don't want to be associated with something that has to do with God. We're to be public about our faith in Christ. We're to be public about how much we love the Bible, how much we love God. Amen. We're never to be ashamed about it. We have to boldly take up the cross of Christ because the world hates it. Understand that the world hates Jesus. The world don't want him. You and I are to carry the cross. We're to follow him. Amen. Follow him even unto death, which means, listen, spiritually it means that we're to say, you know what, I'm going to live for Jesus. Where the rest of the world can go to hell, but I'm going to live for Jesus. If the rest of the world don't want him, listen, I want the world to be saved, but I'll tell the world how to be saved, but if the world don't want him, I'm still carrying that cross. I'm still going to go with Jesus. I'm going to die to this world, and I'm going to live for him. We need to again, boldly take up the cross. We'll do it with a happy heart, not drudgingly. With a happy heart, that we're glad that we get to carry that cross. Amen? And we have to promise to surround ourselves with people who have respect for the Word of God. If you stand in the crowd of people who hate it, what's going to happen is it's going to wear on you. We have to, on purpose, make sure. That's why I'm so thankful for our little church. We're not big. We're not fancy, but we love God. Amen. And we love one another. Amen?
Yeah.
So, in order for us to, good morning, sir. We're having church. We're not having restaurants today.
Not restaurants.
Not today. We have church this morning. You want to come in, though? All right. There goes another one. All right. But anyway, like I said, in order for us to do all these things that Solomon has told us to do, in order for us to love the Word of God, in order for us to bind it around our neck and to carry it publicly, in order for us to do it, we need to know why. And Solomon gives us three very telling reasons why we ought to not be ashamed of the Word of God, but to wear it publicly and carry it. I'm saying wear it publicly. I mean to carry it everywhere we go and not be ashamed of it. He tells us, first of all, that God's law, and when I say God's law, I mean the whole run of Scripture from Genesis all the way through to the back. I don't mean just one little particular section. God's Word speaks to us, amen? Yes, you need to understand the context. You need to understand who he's speaking to. You need to rightly divide the Word of God when you're reading it. But the same, but it still stands to reason that the Word of God all the way through is to be a guide to us. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ especially, it'll be a guide. The Bible says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. I don't know where to go in life. And anybody in here says you do, you're lying. We don't know what to do in life. And if we just leave it up to chance and just hope we get it right, we're making a very dangerous choice for ourselves. God's word, the Bible says, and God's no liar. When God says that his word will lead us, will guide us, God means it. God promises us that his word will guide us. It will lead us. Not only will it guide us to make choices, not only will it guide us through horrible situations that we're all going to face, because the Bible says in this world you shall have tribulation. We're going to face it. He says all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It will guide us through all that so that we don't come unwound, we don't fall apart. God's word is what holds us together in all that. Not only will it be a guide to us, but the Bible tells us that it will be a guardian to us. It does. The Bible says when thou sleepest. Now, when thou sleepest, when you sleep, you're as defenseless as you can be. When you sound asleep, anything in the world could happen to you, and you wouldn't be able to do anything about it. Some people are scared to lay down at night and go to bed. You know why? Because they don't know the Word of God's their guardian. Some people can't rest because they're worried something might happen to them. Some people hear a dog bark and they think instantly somebody's outside. They just can't rest. The Bible says that it will be a guardian. The Bible says that even though we're off guard because we're sound asleep, it shall keep thee. Now, these are promises God made. These ain't just things I'm coming up with. This is straight out of the Scripture. But that's not all it'll do. The Bible also tells us, now listen to this, that it'll be a dear friend to us. It'll be a dear friend to us. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. That's what the Bible says. And when we wake up in the morning, the Bible will speak to us. Now, any of these three reasons would be enough to make us seek a closer relationship with the precious Word of God. And when we come and read the precious Word of God, we're meeting with the one who wrote it. We're meeting with the one who put it there. Now, let's be honest. We need a guide, don't we? Because we're blind without the Word of God. We just might as well be driving with a blindfold on. We don't know what we're doing. I mean, the Word of God, I mean, Jesus is the light of the world. We need the light of the world. We walk in darkness with that. So we need a guide. We need a guardian as well that can assure us and give us confidence, that can shepherd us through the valley of the shadow of death, because we're all going to walk there. God promises us that. So we need that guardian to take care of us as we go along life's journey. But what I want to focus on this morning is the point that the Word of God will be our sweetest friend we've ever had. We live in a world today where people have tablets like this one I'm reading off of, and phones and all kinds of devices and things like that that'll talk to you. It'll say stuff to you. I mean, people can talk to you on it, but the thing of it is, these devices aren't real. They're artificial. They have artificial intelligence built into them. It's not alive. We can't get it. I can't get any comfort from my phone. I don't know about y'all. Some people may feel like they get comfort from it, but I can't get comfort from my phone. I can't get comfort from my tablet. I can't get comfort from my home computer. I tell you what I can get from it. I can get amusement. And that's what we get from our devices. We get amusement. And when we get amusement, what do we do? We're turning off our brain. That's what amusement means. The definition for amusement is the act of being distracted so one can't think deeply. Because if you look at the word amusement, the word muse means to think deeply upon something. Even so much as you don't even realize what's going on around you because you're so deep in thought. Somebody might think you're daydreaming, but no, you're sitting there deeply thinking on something. Listen, so a muse is the opposite of that. It's so you don't ever, your mind is occupied with everything else, so you don't think deeply. So So that's what a phone is. That's what a tablet is. When we sit down with them, our mind's distracted and occupied. But listen, that's not what we need, folks. You can't get any comfort from that. You can't get any peace from that. You only get amusement. If we would muse, which is the opposite of amuse, we would think deeply upon the Word of God. Here's some things that we discover. All right? Number one, the Word of God's alive. It's alive. The Bible says, it shall talk with thee. It's alive. Dead things don't talk. Listen, I know you said, my phone, Siri on my phone talks to me. That's an artificial voice. That ain't alive. Amen. That's a computer that has a program in it. But it's alive. The Bible is like a living book. It's pure truth. Pure truth. There's no darkness in it. There's no lie in it. It's absolute 100% pure truth. Pure truth never changes. It's always going to be the same. And get this, it'll never die. Amen? His word will live forever. As long as God lives, the word of God will live, and it will never change. That's amazing to me that this book that sits here on this stand in front of me will live forever. Amen? You can't find anything else in this world that's going to do that, that'll be perfect forever, that'll never change. Think about it. It's alive. What is it? It's a love letter. This book is a love letter from an infinite, almighty, unchanging, self-existing God to his creation. It's his love letter to let us know how much he loves us, that he loves us so much that he would send his only begotten Son to be treated cruelly by his own creation, to be hated, scorned, and spit upon, and mocked, and beaten, and nailed to a cross and killed right there because they didn't like what he had to say. It's a love letter. God says, don't be like them. Turn to my beloved Son and be born again. I sent him for you. God is letting us know that. It's his love letter to us. It's alive. It's alive. And look here. It displays for us the living, beating heart of Jesus Christ. You want to know who Jesus is? You read the Word of God. You'll see him. You'll see him in the pages. You'll get to know the very heart of Jesus Christ. Don't yawn at me. Breathe. Listen. Pay attention. Get what I'm saying. Don't miss it. You want to know who Jesus is? You're not going to find him anywhere but in this Bible. Amen? You want to get close to him? You ain't going to get close to him but in this Bible. We can sing all the songs and rejoice. Oh, that's a wonderful song. We can sit around here and talk about the Lord. But if you really want to know him, don't get it secondhand. Don't get it secondhand through somebody else's testimony. Don't get it secondhand through singing a song. Don't get it secondhand through some other method, watching somebody else. Get in the Bible yourself, and Jesus will say, I've been waiting on you. I wanted to talk to you all this time, but it took you this long to pry yourself away from all your amusement to spend a little bit of time with me. And think about it, it's alive. Think about this. Every time we open up the Bible, we have an ever-present helper and guide in the Holy Ghost of God. He's there. The moment you open the book, the moment your eyes begin to focus upon the print, the Holy Ghost of God is there. And he wants to take us through it. He wants to show us and reveal to us Jesus. He wants us to know Jesus deeper and greater than we ever have before. That's his job. Everything in the Bible, listen, everything in the Bible that the Holy Ghost touches is lit up and it shines and it lights our way. When you think about that. I've read things in the Bible that it was so real to me, it was as if I was standing on a battlefield with the children of Israel. I've read that story of David going down that valley to face Goliath. It was just as if I was crawling down them rocks, going down the side of that valley with him, about to face Goliath. I've stood in the midst of a burning fiery furnace with the Hebrew children. I've wrestled with an angel. Amen. I've been in all those places because the Holy Ghost of God took me there and made it real before me. And I, through my mind's eye, began to experience and see the things that God was telling me. I would have never seen and known that otherwise. The Word of God is a living, breathing book. There is no other like it. Number two, the Word of God's personal. It says, it shall talk with thee. It'll talk with thee. Listen, the Word of God's amazing. See, the Word of God will speak to all men. Doesn't make no difference where they come from. The Word of God will speak to Donald Trump today if he'd open the Bible and read it. The Word of God will speak to Bill Gates, my owner of Microsoft, today if he'd open the Bible and read it. It would speak to the Rockefellers if they'd open their Bible and read it. And it would speak to that fella that walked down the road down there. They ain't got nothing. It would speak to this woman that totes a duffel bag up down this road every day. It would speak to the poorest. It would speak to the most confused. It would speak to the most wasted. It would speak to all men regardless of where they're at in life. God does not have respect of persons. Amen? It is a personal book. Not only that, it's a timeless book. So I don't know about something happened 2,000 years ago. I've heard people say that. Well, let me tell you something. The Word of God doesn't care if it's 2,000 years ago or not. The Word of God will speak to today. You can look up in the Word of God and listen, it's a living book. It's a timeless book. Listen, it deals with stuff we're dealing with right now, today. I mean, it deals with the political confusion that's going on around us. It deals with Israel and what's happening with it. It deals with the coming world government. It deals with the Antichrist, which is fixing to come on the scene. It is a very, very personal, very, very real, very, very living book. It doesn't matter how long it's been since the Word of God has been completed. It's still personal. It shall talk with thee. Listen, Jackson T, God has something he got to say to you personally. That he ain't got to say to nobody else. He wants to say something to you personally. Amen? He wants to talk to every one of us in here personally because he loves us personally. Amen. Not only will it speak to all men regardless of their station, not only is it timeless, it can speak to your situation, no matter what you're going through. You may say, well, you don't understand. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Oh, yes, they do. You can't say that about God because God knows exactly what you're going through and God can speak to the situation exactly that you're in. There ain't nobody going to say, well, you know, my situation's too hard for God. Oh, no, it's not. It's too complicated. No, it's not. God will simplify it for you real quick and bring you to your knees. Amen? Listen, the Bible is so much greater than you could ever imagine it to be. It's so much more powerful and so much more intelligent. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts, the Bible says. But yet God still says, come, let us reason together from the Scriptures. He wants to take you to His Word and talk to you personally on your personal level. It can speak to anybody in all states of mind. Again, it can speak to the most intelligent man. And he'll never get tired of reading it. He'll never get where he feels like he's above it. It can speak to the simplest, what we call the village idiot. It can speak to the village idiot and make the village idiot a wise man. How? It's because it's a powerful book. It's a living book. It's God's book. It can change the leper spots. Amen? It can make them white as snow. It can wash away our sins. Listen, I'm telling you right now, this book's beyond our comprehension. We can never find the bottom of it, amen? You can't get to the end and go, well, I've read it all now, I know it all. No, you don't. It's a personal book. It's going to be personal for the rest of your life. It's faithful to bless. We go through the Word of God, all through it, we find treasure. We find promises that God has made to us, not just in Proverbs or Psalms, not just in the Gospels, but we find it all through it. It's faithful to bless us, and it's faithful to rebuke us. God's Word don't have no problem putting His finger right in your face and saying it's you, and this is your problem. God's Word will rebuke you. It will get you right where you're messing up and put His finger on you and you know you're guilty. Amen. I thank God that the Word of God does that. It calls me out, and it makes me realize that's not Christ-like. You're not being Christ-like. Amen. It'll convict you. It'll cut you. The Holy Ghost of God, who's the curator of the Word of God, not a curator because it's not a dead book. He's the guide of the Word of God. Amen. He'll take you right to the problem. He'll take you right to the solution. And he'll show you how to fix it. He'll instruct you. He'll show you how to keep from falling into that same rut again. It's a personal book. Not only is it alive and is it personal, it's also familiar. The Bible says it shall talk with thee. It'll talk with you. I want you to notice that. It shall talk with thee. What are you trying to say? It doesn't say it'll preach to you. The Bible doesn't preach down to you. Amen? It's like, come in the next room, I'm going to rip you up. I'm going to tear you one into the other. No. God says, I'll talk to you. When you read the Word of God, it's like climbing up in Daddy's lap and having a conversation, a dear conversation. It fellowships with you. I thought about when Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, 38-42. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. His word was talking to her. Amen. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was so worried about having a dinner party that she couldn't even focus on what was going on. Amen. That's a lot of the time that's the way women are. They miss out on it because they're trying to take care and make sure everybody's comfortable if they miss out on what's being done there. And that's what was happening to Martha. She was so worried about making sure Jesus was impressed with her serving and her food and everything else that she missed out on the fact that he was teaching out there. And the Bible said that she came to Jesus and she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Don't you care that she's making me do all the work? Bid her, therefore, she helped me. Tell her to get up from your feet and come in here and help me in the kitchen. That's what she was saying. Tell her to get up from that teaching and come in here and help. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. He was saying, calm down. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, Mary understood something Martha did. Martha was trying to please him with her works. Mary was pleasing him with her weakness. Say, Lord, I need this more than I need to breathe. I need to hear from you. I need you to talk with me. Folks, we need to understand that. We need God to talk to us. I mean let's just be real for a second. I mean, we all expect, everybody in this room, according to our testimony, has trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, right? All of us in this room expect someday to be in heaven. Why do we want to get to heaven and meet God like he's a stranger? Because we've not spent time with him. We don't know him. And we have to wait till we get to heaven to understand everything that God had already put out for us in his word. But we're too lazy. We're too occupied to read it. It's a very personal book. It's a very familiar book. God wants to speak to you. God wants to teach you. If we only understood, if we could only realize how much we need fellowship with God, and that fellowship only comes from reading his word. We get fellowship one with another when we come to church. We get fellowship with other people as we go around in the world. But when we want to fellowship with God, we have to sit down and read his word, let him talk to us. Not only that, it speaks our language. It talks to us right where we're at. Amen? Look up here. Pay attention. I want to know you're listening. God's word will get right down on your level where you're at. Doesn't matter. Again, doesn't matter if you're a college English professor, like my first pastor was, or if you're just a dumb old country boy like I am. God can speak to you no matter where you're at, whatever your station you're at in life. God's word deals with the human condition. Listen, Of course it does. Jesus walked down here on this earth in human flesh. Jesus went through everything that you and I would go through. He knows what we've been dealt. God knows what we're walking in. He knows. So he can speak our language. He can speak to us. The Word of God deals with the human condition that we're all dealing with. Amen? We're all in different phases of it in here. Some of us are young and don't know much, and the world's still brand new and shiny. And some of us are right in the middle of it, trudging through it, and the rest of us on the latter end of it, and aches and pains of life and the troubles of life are greater. That's the way it is. I always said life's like pushing a wheelbarrow. When you start out, it's empty and you can run with it. But as you go a little further, they start throwing bricks of burdens in it, troubles that other people put in your wheelbarrow. And before it's all said and done, you're all stooped over, trying to carry them burdens. You can't hardly walk no more. I mean, that's the way life is. But let me tell you something. God speaks to you at that other end, and he speaks to you at this end and all points in between. God understands. He knows. It speaks about everything in life that concerns us. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. He said that the book has been through all my experience. Somehow or other, it maps it all out and talks with me as if I were a fellow pilgrim. It does not speak to me unpractically and scold me and look down on me from an awful height of stern perfection as if it were an angel and could not sympathize with fallen men. But like the Lord whom it reveals, the book seems as if it were touched with the feeling of my infirmities and had been tempted in all points like I am. Yeah, think about that. God's Word doesn't sit and look down at us. It says, hey, come here. I've been where you've been. I'm going to show you how to get through this. Amen? That's God's a friend to you. That's why we think, what a friend we have in Jesus. He's not our dictator. He's our Lord. He's our friend. He's our Savior. He's our guide. He's our helper. He loves us. And he's begging us, come to my Word and let me talk to you and let me help you. The Bible's very familiar with you, even if you're not familiar with it. I heard people say, well, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I don't know much of his word, but I love the Lord. Well, it's a very one-sided love affair. I just people like that. I know. I talk to them all the time. They don't know no Bible, but they talk all about the Lord. But they don't know him. You can't know him outside of his word. All you know is what others have said. I'll tell you something else about the Word of God, about it being alive. The Word of God will respond to you. Now, hear what I'm saying. It'll respond to you. One thing about the Word of God, which shows us that it has a responsiveness to us, and that is when you reveal your heart to it, it reveals its heart to you. Think about that. When we come to God like softened wax, Lord, here I am before your throne. I don't know. I don't have anything to offer. Lord, I need you. God takes and stamps his image upon us. Amen? You think about that. Like softened wax, and God puts his stamp on us. That's what he does when we get in his word. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. When we come to God and say, Lord, I know that I've made a mess of my life. Lord, I want to please you. Then God says, okay, all right. Now I'm going to help you to be like my son. I want you to be like my son. So come to me, come on and walk with me and talk with me, spend time with me, get to know me, learn of me, take my yoke upon you, and I will make you into that image. God will respond. The Word of God will respond to you if you'll respond to it. I mean, think about it. When we come before the Scriptures, now, again, if we're just sitting here going to flip through it and just, just read a few verses, walk on, that's not spending time with God. Amen? That's like calling somebody on the phone and saying, hey, how you doing? I'll see you later, bye. What a conversation. Just want to know if you're there, bye. That's the way we treat God. If we spend time, if we search, God, please show me you in the Scripture. Speak to me. Talk to me. God will reveal things to us that the casual reader never see. It's a living book. And when we come to it and treat it as a living book, God's Word shows us that it's alive. 1 Corinthians 2:12-14, the Bible says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," that means the casual reader, the one who just flips through the Bible, looks down to the one who's not saved, amen, or even when we come to, listen, even when we come to the Word of God and we're in our flesh and we're not even trying to make an effort to meet with God, we're just trying to sit down and say we've read some Scripture. That's us coming to our natural man. And the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, of the Spirit of God. Neither for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. What are you trying to say? I'm saying if we don't come to God humbly and reverently, then we shouldn't expect for God to speak to us. Amen? And lastly, the Word of God's alive. What else does it do? It'll influence you. It'll influence you. It'll soothe your sorrow when you're hurting and you don't know how to handle it. God's Word will soothe your sorrow. God's Word will settle you when you're anxious, when you don't know what to do. And when you're down, God's Word will encourage you. It'll lift you up. 1 Peter 5:8-11, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Those two things, why? He says, be sober, but be serious-minded. And be vigilant. Be diligent in what you do. Be not only be serious-minded, but be alert. Be on the lookout. Be careful everywhere you step in life. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible doesn't say he is a roaring lion. It says he walks about as a roaring lion. A roaring lion is seeking to intimidate. Right? I can't roar like a lion, but when he lets out that roar, whatever, I mean, that's meant to scare. That's meant to put fear in a victim. That's meant to make them freeze in fear so that they can be devoured. The devil, listen, he roars through the television set. He roars through the radio. He roars through all kinds of media. He roars and roars and roars, and he wants us to get all bent out of shape and scared and anxious and not knowing what we're going to do. He walks about, looks, seeking whom he may devour. What does God say? Resist him. Resist him steadfast. That means don't move, just stand there and resist him. No, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not going down that road again. No, I'm not going to fall for that again. No, I'm not going to let you intimidate me anymore. No. Why? He says, no, look here, and realize something. You're not dealing with anything anybody else hasn't dealt with. You're not a special case. You're not somebody special. The devil's just picking on you like he's never picked on anybody else. The Bible says you need to know that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Everybody else is a Christian is going through the same kind of stuff that you're going through. The devil's after them just like he's after you. But he says, but this, the God of all grace, who has called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, the God who saved us, the God who washed our sins as white as snow. He said, after that ye have suffered a little while, God is going to allow us to face temptation. Again, we talked about it last week. God does not bring it into our life, but God allows us to face it. God, if God just shut down all of our battles and we never have to depend on him. If God just came in and we never had to come to him for anything, if God just shut the devil down every which way, God can shut him down now. You realize that, don't you? But he doesn't. He allows him to tempt us. He allows him to try to intimidate us. Why? Because that increases our need for God. You understand that? The more we're accosted by the devil, the more we're attacked by the devil, the more we're intimidated by the devil, the more we need Jesus. Y'all paying attention up here? Are you listening? Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need Jesus because the devil's going to try to destroy your life. He's going to try to make a wimp, a coward, a noodle out of you. That's what he wants to make out of you, a wet noodle, somebody who won't do anything, somebody who's ashamed to speak up for Jesus, somebody who's ashamed to talk to somebody else about whether or not they're saved or lost, somebody who's scared to do right in the crowd of people that are doing wrong. That's what he wants to make out of you. He wants to make a wimp out of you. And God says, look, you're going to have to go through it a little bit. You're going to have to face this sometime. He said, but after you've suffered a little, hey, he'll make you perfect. That means God knows that you're not going to flip a switch and be absolutely grown up overnight. God's going to have to grow you up. But you know what? If you'll spend time with God, just let's look at it this way. If you spend time with a mentor, if somebody, y'all ever heard of the Big Brothers and Big Sisters program for inner city kids that maybe ain't got a daddy? A lot of inner city kids ain't got daddies. They live with mamas. They're living on welfare. They got little or nothing. In the Big Brothers and Big Sisters program, it's grown men and grown women who are mature, who know how to handle themselves. They go in and they take that child and they go and do stuff with them and they help them to learn how to grow up and come up out of the silliness and the foolishness and the crime and all the mess that they're living in. They try to give them a role model to follow so that they grow up and become a mature individual. Well, just like that, God wants you to come to him and spend time with him and let him mature you and grow you up so that you're grown up into the image of Jesus. The Bible says that he will make you perfect, which means he'll make you grown up in spiritually. And not only that, he says that after that he'll establish you. He'll get you to where you ain't moving. You're steady where you're at. And then he says he'll strengthen you. He'll make you strong in areas you weren't strong in before. And he'll settle you so that you don't panic. You know God's got it. You know it's in God's hands. It ain't nothing for you to worry about. I know God can handle this. And anything comes against me, I know he's stronger than anything I'm going to face. God wants to make you settled in your heart and mind about who he is and what he can do. He said to him, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Glory. He deserves all the glory because he can do everything. Amen. He can handle it all. And he has dominion, which means he's in charge of it. He's in charge of it all. He's the God of everything. Amen. I want you to think about something. I mean, we read in the Word of God of all the triumphs and all the victories and everything that God's people had. But there's been many a warrior for God who was ready to run away from God's battlefield. I mean, they were scared to death. But here's what happened. The Word of God laid his hand upon his shoulder. And he said, stand on thy feet. Be not discouraged. Be of good cheer. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Like I said, brave saints, we read of them, but we don't have any idea how many times they would have been cowards and run away. But the good word of God came and strengthened them and settled them. And they went back to be stronger than lions and swifter than eagles. Can I tell you something? You ain't no different than anybody else. You're going to face troubles. You're going to face distractions. You're going to face trials in life. You're going to face heartaches and grief. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll go with a book that will talk to you, every chance you get, sit down and spend time with the dearest friend you've ever had, and he'll become sweeter. That's the reason why there's so many songs written about how sweet Jesus is. He gets sweeter as the days go by. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. There's a reason why they wrote those songs. They wasn't just trying to think up some cool words that went together. It was experience. It's real. The relationship with God is real. And if you ain't ever experienced it as real like I'm talking about, it's laziness on your part that you need to repent of and ask God to forgive you for being lazy and not wanting to know him. Because I'm going to tell you something. He's been waiting and waiting and waiting every day. Amen? The Bible says, when thou awake, it shall talk with thee. Do you realize that every day when you open your eyes, God is waiting to talk to you? He's waiting for you. How many, let me ask you, and I want you to think, every one of us in here, how many days do you leave God hanging, waiting on you? How often do we leave God waiting on us? We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. How often in troubles do we make God the last person we talk to about it, instead of making him the first one? It's a living book, folks. God's word will lift us up higher than we've ever thought we could be lifted. But we're going to have to go to it. We're going to have to be reverent and say, Lord, I know I'm nothing, and Lord, you're all I need. And it's all right here in this book. And let's be patient and let God work on us, because you're not going to grow up overnight. But you know what? You can grow up a lot faster when you've got God teaching. Amen? This morning, listen, the invitation is this. Let's examine ourselves. Are we reading the Bible like we should? Are we trying to get to know God like we should? Are we clinging to him like we should? Let's examine ourselves. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So let's judge ourselves this morning. Let's stand back and look at us and say, am I close to God as I should be? Am I reading his word and really meeting with him and listening to him like I should be? Or am I just halfway doing it or even barely doing it at all? And we need to come before God and we need to confess that we've been lazy. We need to confess to God that we've not given our all to him to let him stamp his image upon us. And the reason we're not where we ought to be is our fault. It's not his. Could we come to him this morning in prayer and admit it and ask God to remind us in the morning when we wake up that we need to spend time with him, and the next day and the next and the next, until it becomes a habit with us to where we want to get up and we cannot stand to do anything else until we have spent time with God and we know that he's instructed us and we've got some marching orders for the day. Let's consider ourselves and let's go to him in prayer this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, I realize, Lord, all our failures are failures to come and meet with you. Lord, there's no reason why we should live this life unsuccessfully. There's no reason why we should suffer like we do. There's no reason why we should live in ignorance. There's no reason, Lord, why we should fail as Christians to have a good testimony before men. There's no reason why we should panic and not know the answers to how to deal with things in life. Lord, you have it all for us in your wonderful holy book. And Lord, if we just reverence it like we ought, it would change us forever. Father, I thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for each one that's been here. Lord, I ask as we close this service, Lord, that, Lord, the question might linger upon our minds. Have I spent time with God like I should? May it trouble us. May it bother us. And Lord, may it drive us to the place of Bible study and prayer. Lord, I love you and I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, how it's changed me and how it's worked in me. And Lord, I'm thankful that it's still changing and still working and always will till the day I die. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for revealing him to us from your precious word. Bless each one that's come to the house of God today. And Lord, I pray you bless, Lord, our weak Father. I pray, Lord, that we'd serve you and we'd give Jesus glory with our lives. Father, I just give you praise and glory, and I thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.